Lift your voice, lift your hands to heaven. Turn this song into a desperate cry. Go ahead and pray. Halibaratos kalibrandigi de apashada balakusiada. Hebata sogate balakusiada bada. Our highest priority, Jesus. Jesus revealed. Jesus glorified.
We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
One more time.
We sing glory to God.
Shabalakosa brandi balakosa.
Glory to God. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
Sing it from the depth of your heart.
I love you forever. I love you forever. Forever, be lifted forever, be lifted forever, Lord.
In and through my life, be lifted,
be lifted forever, be lifted forever, be lifted forever. Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna, forever.
Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We worship, we worship, we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One more time, Hosanna to your name. Father, we're only here tonight because of your grace. We're here tonight because you are God, the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. We bow our hearts to worship you and to declare how much we love you. We have come tonight for a very definite encounter in your presence. The Bible declares that they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Therefore, we pray that the hallowed bread be broken tonight. Cause our eyes to see. Cause our ears to hear. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let the lost be found. In the name of Jesus, let light come from your throne and bring brightness and perspective to every area of darkness. Empower us by the ministry of your word. Let the results show. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless you. Good evening, everyone. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There is what you only get in the house of the Lord. You cannot get it in a bank. You cannot get it in an academic institution. You cannot get it in a hospital. It is only the presence of God that can bring the fullness of joy, pleasures even forevermore. Let me encourage us, therefore, to be and remain intentional. You must be very intentional as far as coming to the house of God is concerned. And then number two, opening up your spirit. See, you can be here and yet you are not here. Is that true? The Bible spoke about Mary and Martha, a contrast of two different people in the presence of Jesus. One sat quietly and she was listening. The other was around where things were happening, but it did not bless her. And she was offended. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and offended about many things." He said, "One thing is needful, and that Mary has chosen, to sit at the Master's feet." When it was time to eat bread, he said, "Tell the people to sit down. If you cannot sit down, there's no bread for you." Sit down means pay attention. Be undistracted. Forget about whatever challenge, whatever it is. Anything the presence of God cannot solve, cannot be solved. Are we together? Let me give you a guarantee, and I say this with every sense of humility and responsibility. And I've been saying this for many years. If you pay attention to the truths that I teach you, if you pay attention to these mysteries of the kingdom that the Lord brings to you week in, week out, I give you a guarantee as touching the integrity of the name of the Lord. Your life will be an unending wonder, first to you and then to all around you. The things that we teach are not personal inventions. We found them. It is an ancient part. It was not discovered by us. No. It's been there. God, by His grace, granted us access to these things. Paul calls it the fellowship of the mystery. Are we together? It will be dangerous, it will even be evil to teach you opinions. I think this is how it should be. I suggest this is how it should be. The truths that you hear and learn have been vetted by the integrity of Scripture and then the life of people with uncommon results. I made a covenant with God that I will never lead a people who would live defeated lives as though the realities of truth that we find in Scripture were a lie. It is God's desire that in this order that you know Him, this is eternal life, John 17 and verse 3, remember, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. Then number two, to be equipped with the principles. Second to knowing God is spiritual enlightenment, where you are equipped with the principles that make for a victorious life. Please listen, believers. A victorious life is not a wish. A victorious life is more than a desire. Are we together? It takes knowledge. The administration of the life and the power of God in this kingdom is knowledge dependent. You need sufficient knowledge to thrive and to reign. Having knowledge is not enough. It must be knowledge enough to swallow up darkness. When a student fails an examination in most schools and most colleges, pass, what we call a pass mark, starts from say 40 or 45, depending on the standards. Now, if say the pass mark is 45%, if a student scores 40%, he didn't get zero, but he still failed. Is that true? The person who did not write that exam, the person who did not even come for the exam, and the one who failed the exam will stay in the same category. This is the terrible thing about life. So if you are going for this thing, it is best to go all out, so that you do not have the result of an unbeliever, the result of a frustrated Christian. Make up your mind. He's called it our season of marvelous light. Make up your mind. Some of you here are ministers of the gospel. Some of you here are business people. It doesn't matter what field of endeavor. Make up your mind to fight ignorance. Every time you come here and every time you connect by way of the internet or whatever television station, you are opening up your heart as a communication of your desperation to end ignorance. Are we together? They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Do you know, many believers know what they want, but they do not know what it takes to actualize what they want. This is the assignment of the teaching priest. Hallelujah. I know that I want a victorious life. I know that I want a good home. I know that I want good children. I know that I want an excelling life. But do you know what it takes to turn your desire to your experience? We have agreed in this house, and let me emphasize again, that results matter. Please prophesy to yourself. Say results. Yes, sir. You will live a very defeated Christian life if you downplay results. In fact, I give you a guarantee that your Christian experience would be a frustrating one if your life cannot capture sufficient results. It is in your results that Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. One of the ways we lift up Jesus is that our lives command dimensions of results that dumbfound principalities and powers. Jesus wants the church to manifest the fullness of his glory. Please give us Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 9 and 10. My verse of emphasis is verse 10. I'm just preparing your heart. It says, and to make men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, Paul is speaking now, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. 10. Let's read together. Ready? 1, to read. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by who? The church. The manifold wisdom of God. So the entire engracing that was given to Apostle Paul, he's teaching the church in Ephesus now, that the reason why God so lavishly subjected me through this rigorous spiritual training and granted me access to revelation is to bring you to this point. That from your life and through your life, there would be a display of such excellence. Your life becomes a living epistle. You know what it means? A living epistle means you become a continuation of everything written in Scripture. That means if someone forgets his Bible at home, he does not cry again when he sees you. You become a continuation of what he was reading. Whatever he did not understand in his devotion in the morning, your life becomes an explanation of it. If he were studying about the favor of God and he didn't understand because of the context, the culture that was used, God will use you. He will personify and say, in addition to what you read, look at this life. If the person studies that God is all powerful, that God is able to deliver and save to the uttermost, you become an explanation, a clarification to everything that Scripture says. This is why Jesus was called the Logos of God, the thoughts of God. Whatever God was thinking, Jesus was acting out. Are we together? It gives God great glory for the saints to access light. Shout light. One more time, say light. high level spiritual illumination. Let me tell you the truth. Nothing empowers like light. But the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. God made many lights, but there were two great lights that sustained the ability to exert dominion. The Bible says the first light was to rule in the day. The second light was to rule in the night. Do you have that light? If you do not have that light, you cannot rule in the day. If you do not have the one that rules in the night, you cannot rule in the night. Please, every time you come to the house of God, the main auditorium here, all the overflows outside and those following, I want you to participate in everything that happens in the house of God. Most believers are careless about the entire time they spend in the presence of God. They are distracted. Others come and they are having all kinds of business discussions while fire is coming from the altar. Other people are victims of slumber. Are we together? Other people are there, but they are not there. And what you are looking for is what God is answering. And you see, the way Satan works is that the moment the word is coming, the word that gives you illumination, he will distract you. Are we together now? It says, how shall we escape if we neglect carelessness? So great is salvation. Apostle, I love Jesus, but my problem is this money thing. I don't know why the thing is not answering. Come to the house of God. He can open you up and give you an understanding. Apostle, mine, I'm in ministry, but it's not working. The doors have refused to open. Apostle, mine is I quarrel with my wife every day. If we don't quarrel in 24 hours, it means one person was not around. Come to the house of God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Apostle, I'm tired of my children. Their school fees is being increased, and they're coming with results that are very discouraging. Come to the house of God. You've gotten a lesson teacher for them, it did not work. Come to the house of God. Listen, I'm not teaching laziness, but the house of God is a supernatural place. The house of God is not a place of convergence it's not just a diplomatic center. There is a difference. God is there.
For in the sanctuary, God.
That's the difference. It's not because a mic is here. It's not because a keyboard is there. It's not because there's some level of organization and structure happening. The difference is the presence of God. Are we together? It will be a total waste of your time if God is not here. In fact, it will be evil to your destiny if God is not here.
Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary God is here.
Hallelujah. This is what we get in the house of God. Do you know, a believer should not be 2 years old. Listen, this is my opinion now, and I believe it is consistent with scripture. No true believer should be at least 2 years old, or let's say 3 years old, in a strong functional ministry where the word of God is exalted and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is exalted, and the believer does not have some kind of evidence, the evidence of spiritual growth, conformity to the character of the Christ, the evidence of results, superior spiritual understanding, the evidence of transformation, becoming Christ-like and becoming a superior version of yourself by bringing scripture-based ideas that replace some of these ideas that lead to a defeated life. When you come to the house of God, you must know what you are here for. Number one, that you are here for encounters, to know Jesus, to understand God. Number two, to understand yourself. You see, the true knowledge of God also leads to the revelation of you. Are we together? The more you know God, the more you will understand yourself. Because you are born of God. So the more you learn Him, the more you learn yourself. You understand the nature of man. Then you are transformed. Transformation is a real miracle, dear people of God. More than receiving prophecies, more than receiving a miracle, more than falling and standing, the real miracle most destinies need is transformation. And transformation is twofold. The first dimension of transformation is a replacing. It's called renewal. A replacing of old, wrong, devilish, demonic, culture-driven ideas that do not sustain the power to lead to a victorious life. It will take a long time for you to be free from it, because it did not come in one day. It took you 30 years declaring your loyalty to an old, unscriptural idea. It's going to take a while for the Spirit of God to win that war in your mind, that you can finally give up something that is destructive. Then you come to a new superior life. Are we together? Meditate on these things, he said. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Honestly, God sees my heart, that my passion for everyone here and our global family is not just to remain indefinitely loyal to a man of God, to a ministry. It is that your life will be so superior in quality, that your life will be, I told you, remember the teaching we just finished, that your results are evangelists too. You are not the only one who should be preaching the gospel. Your result is a preacher too. And that there is a sermon that only your results can preach. Don't forget it. Romans chapter 8, when you read from verse 18 and 19, 18 starts by saying, "For I reckon, I come to terms with the fact that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed." Where? In us. There is a glory that should be revealed in us. 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation," not explanation, "the manifestation of the sons of God." Challenge yourself. Enough of excuses. Enough of flimsy excuses. "Lord, I open up my heart. I admit I do not know. My heart is opened. Let light come." Palakosiata. The Bible says to receive with meekness, Colossians 3:16, the engrafted word. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourself." Then I can't remember the scripture now, that it says to receive with meekness the engrafted word. It takes the quality of meekness for that word to dwell in you richly. Do you know what meekness means? Number one, the malleability of heart. And then number two, the openness of the same. And it starts by acknowledging your insufficiency outside of the influence of the word. That means I admit that there is something I do not understand about the dynamics of signs and wonders. There is something I do not understand about kingdom wealth and prosperity. There is something I do not understand about peace. There is something I do not understand about whatever it is. The moment your heart is open, then you are ready for that light to come. You don't come to the house of God hoping, "Let me hear, okay, it looks impressive. I think there's some sense in it." No. The devil is already cheating you when that becomes your mentality. You come with your heart opened. Even Jesus at age 12, he was in the temple accessing light, even though he was the word. Are we together? Please. please make up your mind. Every time you find yourself in the house of God, everything that happens from the opening prayer up to the time where the word comes, they are all a coordinated effort to see that your spirit man is opened and that the word of God comes to you. Because listen to me, when the word comes, then you can arise. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. It says, rise to a new light, for your light is come. So whilst you're seated, whilst you're following, in 1 minute, I'd like you to pray a desperate prayer. Open my eyes, O God. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. I need to understand your ways. I need to understand your ways. The darkness of today's world cannot allow for amateurism. Your life can go for it. Lord, I need knowledge that puts me in command, walking in dominion practically. Hallelujah. One more scripture just came to my spirit. That should be Psalms 74. Please give us 74 and 20. Let's see. 74 and 20. Have respect unto the covenant. Why? For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. In other words, Lord, there is a system of immunity that exempts and exalts the believer. He said, Lord, be attentive to it. You must understand those precepts. Why? For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. This world without Christ does not have mercy. The devil will remain unhindered. Say unto God, the Bible says, Psalm 66 and verse 3, how terrible art thou in your ways. It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto you. It takes light. We're going to start a two-part series tonight. I've been very concerned about not only the powerlessness of believers, but some of the things that are happening in our world today, our nation today, as a result of the inability of the saints to produce results. You know, as a man of God, you are in touch with what happens around a territory. The reason is because whether it is good or bad, usually you are about the first to know. If it is good, people will send it to you as an expression of thanksgiving to join them in sharing their joy. If it is bad, you'll be the first to know because they hope that by informing you, you're the closest expression to God that they know. And so they'll inform you in hope that you'll do something about it. I have been concerned at the degree to which believers have been communicating their frustrations as far as results in this kingdom is concerned. I receive text messages every day with believers asking questions like, is this God real? Is the faith life real? Apostle, I've lived all my life serving God, but it looks like there is absolutely nothing. And I'm not just talking of young people, so you would say, okay, they are just young people. I'm talking of people, even elderly people, who are saying, this is not fair. I've spent 50, 60 years of my life only loving Jesus. My life is synonymous to church, synonymous to fasting and prayer, synonymous to spiritual activities, but I cannot seem to have a hold of results that become a consolation to my Christian experience. And you see, when you see these kinds of things and people send these kinds of text messages, if you love Jesus and love people, it should touch you. It's like a report card. Now you see what is happening. The shameful idea of ritual killing. I'm sure you are aware of it, where people are already maiming one another as an alternative. And you will be surprised that if you probe these people deeply, most of them may come from Christian circles or be affiliated to Christian circles. The rate at which people are redigging wells of traditional practices, the rate at which people are redigging wells of occultism and witchcraft, these are things that the church was almost rejoicing that we are triumphing over. Now Satan is manipulating these things and people are returning back to villages and saying, look, let's dust that file again. At least from 1990 to 1995, as an idol worshiper, these are the things I have to show for my idol worship. You ask me to leave it based on a proposition that Jesus would give me superior results. I've given him 10, 15, 20 years, and there is nothing to show. Until you can prove otherwise, I am going back. It's easy to stand and criticize people and say, don't go back to this, don't go back to that. People are not stupid. In the height of desperation, they will do anything that works. Are we together? Yeah. There are many workers in church, and I don't just mean here, church world over, whose lives continue to be a representation of pain, shame. Nothing at all seems to be working. They are the chief recipients of prophetic words, and it looks like just nothing is happening. What then is the problem? Is it that God lied, or is it that scripture, truth cannot come from scripture? What is this that is responsible for? For instance, look at the poverty, the financial decadence. People continue to go down, and it is not, some of these things may be attributed to laziness, lack of productivity, but I have seen people who are commendably diligent, and yet it looks like it's the same situation. There has to be an explanation. Are we together? Yeah. And sometimes you see, when people come with this kind of pain and burden, as ministers of the gospel, sometimes we make that mistake of just sweeping these things under the carpet as if just forget about it. It's not an issue. And the person says it's not an issue. My children are dying. My family is in shambles. My entire life does not have any representation of the excellence and the glory of God. Now I'm coming to church to find meaning and explanation as to why these things are happening. Because the church is the correct place to come and find explanations. We've done our best to hear what the government has to tell us. We've done our best to hear what politicians have to tell us. We've done our best to hear what the business world has to tell us. We've done our best to hear what, you know, intelligent people, the academia has to tell us. We have to come and listen to what Jesus has to say. Are we blessed? So I'm teaching tonight on a two-part series. We'll start tonight and we'll end commanding the supernatural. I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to what you are learning, because it holds a powerful key. This will be part one, and then we'll finish up tomorrow. You know, I want you to pray for me, and let's pray that God will grant us grace, because there is a backlog, there is a course curriculum. We are growing intentionally, and because of the limitations on our times of contact, there is so much to learn. We have to pray that God will grant us grace and continue to direct us on how to get these truths to believers, so that we be strengthened, so that we be established. Because our lives and destinies, for some of us, spiritually, financially, we're in ICU. Is that true? If someone is in ICU and the doctor is chewing gum, singing praises, and wondering, if it's your loved one, what will you tell the doctor? Are we together? Someone is in ICU and there is no sense of urgency whatsoever. No. A good doctor will be up and doing, thinking, planning, doing everything that he or she can do. That's the kind of urgency that I have in my spirit. We shouldn't wait until September, October, November. Then we just say, thank God in all things. Mm-mm. This is a year of marvelous light. By September, October, you should stand with your results as witnesses around your lives. And this will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeshua. Yeshua.
Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 25. Skama shalakuziyata balakuziyata. The disciples came to Jesus. This was when they were crossing to the other side. And awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. We're reading to 27. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Let's read verse 27 together. One, two, read. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? May that be said about you. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus Christ himself was teaching, and he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That ye bear much fruit. It says, so shall ye be my disciples. In fact, go to verse 16. 16 of the same chapter. Here's what Jesus had to say again. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You know what ordained means? Ordained means to legitimize your operation. Is that true? I have ordained you that you should go and do what? Not bring back stories. No, when he sent you, you don't go and come back with stories. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Our God is a supernatural God. This God that we serve is a supernatural God. The faith life is a supernatural life. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, here's what it says. Our Lord God, it says, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The God that we serve is almighty. He's not just mighty, he is almighty. El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one. Are we together now? The God of heaven. The faith life is a supernatural life. God himself is the supernatural God. And we came out of God, and even in redemption, we are products of the mercy, the blood, and the cleansing of that supernatural God. The entire activity of redemption and salvation was supernatural. Dying and going to Hades, the place of the dead, collecting the keys and coming back to life without blood, ascending to heaven and offering his blood as a ransom, a sacrifice, returning back without blood, a supernatural life. The supernatural is not for men of God alone. The supernatural is not for those in the fivefold ministry alone. Our idea, most times believers have an idea of the supernatural to mean if you are getting into ministry, fivefold ministry they mean, then you can be open to the supernatural. And you ask the average believer, give me a picture of your idea about the supernatural. They say falling down. While that is true, that is the least expression
of the supernatural. It is just the one we are used to seeing in many Pentecostals and charismatic circles, where people can fall down, shout under the anointing with no direct contact, usually with the man of God. And so that is the closest idea to the supernatural. But that is far from God's idea of the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. Let me repeat. We have been called into a supernatural experience. The faith life is a supernatural life. And it is in the manifestation of the supernatural, listen carefully, that Jesus is glorified, that the saints are exalted, and that principalities and powers are, the defeat of principalities and powers become clear to all and sundry when the supernatural comes into play. The supernatural refers to any manifestation that is beyond the scope of science. Any manifestation that seems to defy the law of process. Inasmuch as the law of process is part of the kingdom laws, but there is a provision to rise above and beyond the limitation that process can bring. Process is important, but that under certain conditions, a possibility exists in the economy of God to rise above and beyond the scope of science and the scope of process. Are we together? Every time it defies scientific explanation, every time it defies the regular course of things, then it is supernatural. God does not negate the laws of life. They are His laws. But that there is provision to arise and communicate higher and superior spiritual laws, to the end that Jesus be revealed and the end that Jesus be glorified. Write this down, please. The supernatural is an interplay between faith and the anointing. Write it down, please. The supernatural is an interplay of or between faith and the anointing. That means it is the union, the coordinated union of faith and the operation of the anointing that produces the supernatural. Or the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You have to understand this. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, the two principal tools that produce the supernatural. So the supernatural is the union of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, or faith and the anointing. So here in part one, I want to take on the first aspect, the dynamics of faith. So you can put that under commanding the supernatural, part one, then in bracket, the dynamics of faith. Listen very carefully. I'll show you why many believers are unable to produce results. Results that are consistent. Results that last. An interplay between your faith in God, the workings of God's faith in you, and the anointing. Let's look at the dynamics of faith. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, for our background very quickly, Acts chapter 20 and 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Notice what He commends you to: God and then His word. And He says it is able to build you up, maturity, and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Scripture number 2, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Whatsoever, not just whosoever. Whatsoever is born of God, it sustains within it the ability to overcome the world. And it says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Most believers know about a concept called faith. Most believers have heard sermons on faith. Most believers have read books on faith. But I submit to you sincerely that most believers do not understand the dynamics of faith. What faith is and how it works. You want your life to be extraordinary. You want your life to be supernatural. You have to understand the dynamics of faith. Write it down. What is faith? Our fathers have taught us. We have read it from scripture. We have gleaned upon the wisdom of men and women through history who have demonstrated with proof in their lives that the subject of faith is not just some dogma somewhere. It's not just a mere doctrine. They have proven it through different circumstances that faith works. Let me give you two or three definitions of faith. Are you ready? Number one, faith means absolute confidence in God. Absolute confidence in God. I'll give you three definitions. Generally speaking, faith means absolute confidence in God. Number two, this is a definition I have found useful to me, and it has come as a result of my personal study on the subject of faith. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience that you take. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience that you take based on your conviction. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience that you take based on your conviction honor of who God is and the integrity of His word. The action of obedience that you take based on your conviction on who God is and the integrity of His word is called faith. So, action of obedience based on conviction of who God is and the integrity of His word. Most believers do not know that when it has to do with manifesting results on earth here, whether it is in the area of finances, in the area of your spiritual growth, in the area of ministry, career, whatever it is, that the way God designed this system, it says the heaven of heavens belong to God. It says, but the earth has He given to the sons of men. You know what that means? That means, I taught you here that the dominion of the believer is shared dominion. Remember, we discussed this when we were dealing with intercession last week. That the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. That means, for anything to happen in the earth realm, please pay attention, there has to be a union of heaven and earth. Are we together? When Jesus wanted to come as the Word made flesh, He did not just take a decision from heaven alone. There had to be a participatory work here on earth. At least we know people like Anna the prophetess, Mary had to donate her womb, Joseph had to be there too. There were many people who played roles. Otherwise, Jesus would not have arrived. The idea, listen to me, the deceptive idea that anything God wants can happen as a way of honoring His sovereignty. You are right. But as far as manifesting realities is concerned, you are very wrong. You know, because we know that God is sovereign, and you are right. It is within His power. If God vetoes man, He's still not wrong because He is God. Are we together? But he has chosen according to his wisdom and his predeterminate counsel to make man able to participate in everything that happens on earth. So when it has to do with manifestations, it is not all up to God and it is not all up to man. There is a role that God has to play. There is a role that man has to play. Ignoring and neglecting your role as a man in hope that God is mighty and he will make things happen may be one of the explanations behind the frustration of many believers. You hear sayings like one day go better. Have you heard it? That is a very bad way of thinking. It may be a sociological way of deriving comfort in the presence of failure, but I guarantee you, hoping that one day things will arbitrarily change is a total waste of time. It takes a foolish farmer who will get up by September and go to one of our farms in the suburbs in Abuja. You see him with a car, a tractor, and different bags. Where are you going to? I'm going to harvest something. And you say, oh, really? You didn't tell me you planted. You say, I hope I know that the way rain fell, I can guarantee that there is corn for me. Now, think how intelligent that person is. Does that sound smart? And yet, that is the exact same thing people do about life. They get up and say, God loves me too much to allow me suffer. And we drag spiritual and emotional bags and we stand in the middle of nowhere, hoping for a bumper harvest. When it has to do, let me teach you this again. When it has to do with your life and destiny, listen to me. You have an active role to play. An active role to play. The challenge usually is the confusion between the idea of grace and faith. The subject of grace, if not properly communicated, would lead people into laziness because of the awareness of a concept called the finished work of Christ. And that is a fact based on scripture. It is not a lie. But then most people do not understand what the grace of God is. I've done teachings on that and I hope that we'll be able to touch a bit on it. But maybe just for a minute or two, let me talk a bit about it. You see, the grace that most people talk about in the body of Christ is only one dimension of grace. Grace, like wisdom, is multidimensional. Are we together now? Yes. Wisdom is not just unidimensional. Wisdom has different facets. For instance, divine direction is a subset of wisdom. Divine strategy is a subset of wisdom. So when you say you have wisdom, we must vet what dimension of it. So also grace. The dimension of grace that most people talk about is called saving grace. There are different kinds of dimensions of grace. There is the grace that saves. Is that true? Yes. And then there is what we call enabling or empowering grace. That grace does not do for you. It rather empowers you to do with a strength that is not yours. It is still grace. So the idea that the only dimension of grace that is there is that Jesus has finished everything, just receive it by saying, I receive. It's not, those who communicate these things are sincere people. Don't get me wrong. And what they are saying is not a lie. It's only that there needs to be completion to it. Because many believers have tried it and it has not worked. Are we together now? So, when you talk about saving grace, if I will use that expression, the freest of all the graces is saving grace. Because that one is the finished work. But you sit down there and don't confess your sins and don't open up to Jesus, and you see that you will go to hellfire. Is that true? You still have a role to play, to hear the word and take a step of faith, come and stand before Jesus and make that declaration according to Romans 10:8-10. Then you are saved. Here's my definition of grace, generally speaking. Every good and perfect gift that comes from above, listen carefully, given to the saints and accessed only through the office of the Christ, is called grace. Every good and perfect gift that comes from above for the benefit or the blessings of the saints, but it is only routed through the office of the Christ. That means you cannot access it except through Christ. Here's how the Bible puts it. Ephesians, what now is it? 3? That God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is a definition of grace. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That is the definition of grace. All spiritual blessings. But they reside in heavenly places and are routed to the saints through the office of the Christ. You cannot access that spiritual blessing ignoring the office of Jesus, the Christ of God. Are we together? So wisdom, generally speaking, wisdom is grace. Faith is grace. Are you seeing that now? Power is grace. Everything that comes from God through Christ to man is qualified to be called grace. So it does not just mean unmerited access. When you ask the average believer, define grace, he will say unmerited access. That is only one dimension. In fact, I let me tell you sincerely, the word unmerited is not very accurate. It is only unmerited when you are talking about saving grace, in that we cannot save ourselves. Are we together now? Yes. We cannot save ourselves. So Jesus Christ does the whole work for us in what we call, theologically speaking, his substitutionary sacrifice. And then we receive it by faith. The Bible says, you are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, you know, not of works, lest any man should boast. The works there is the work of the cross, not the work of believing. There is a labor dimension to faith. So many believers have found an excuse to live defeated lives because they believe that everything, it is if God wants to give me, he will give me. If God does not give me, it means it is not for me. It's not true. Are we together? A coronation service was held in honor of Jesus when he resurrected. But he had to go to heaven before he could sit on that throne. He did not just appear. He went literally and sat down. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. And he sat down and the coronation service was held for him. Until today, Jesus, the epitome of grace, is still making intercession. Yet he was the one who said it is finished. So what is he interceding for? Jesus is seated at the right hand today. He's not just gisting and say, bring me food, angels. You don't know what I suffered with this evil man for 33 years. He's making intercession for the saints, the recipients of that finished work. He's still making intercession. Listen. Understand it. Don't sit down. There's no tell them. By the way, let me use this opportunity to correct something. Listen, please listen. Jokes apart, we are responsible people, and I know that there are shouts of joy and victory. Sometimes when we are preaching, people enjoy what God is saying and they open their hearts. But please let us minimize irresponsible distractions. Are we together? Please, I'm saying this for visitors and people. When you come to Koinonia, listen to the word. If there's something to shout about, you will most likely not be the only person shouting. But the moment you are making noise and distracting people, please let it be known to you that it may be a distraction, and we love you, but we may not appreciate that. That is something that I think we should learn. There must be discipline in the house of God. Are we together? Please. We're not watching a movie. This is Jesus speaking to us. So we must be very disciplined. Sometimes there are people, of course, neighbors may not have the courage to tell you, look, I'm not following what they are saying, but it's my responsibility, and under God I am saying this. Please let it be a practice. When there is something to shout and laugh and rejoice, we do it with joy. And there are times individuals will honestly receive the word. I'm not saying to feel embarrassed, you know, with your expressions, but you know the kind of shout that is inspired by the Spirit, and there is a kind of shout that is just is a distraction. Praise the Lord. Do we have that now, please? So when we come to the house of God, let's be orderly. Let's be orderly. When you go to see a president or you go to see someone, you don't misbehave in the office. You behave well. Let's respect Jesus and respect his house. It's a place of joy and liberty, but it's not a place of foolishness. We must let the world know that we are saved to be wise. Are we together? Praise the Lord. I just thought to use this opportunity and just quickly bring that in. So we're discussing the subject of grace. Are we together? Let's go back to faith. Really, that's what we're talking about. Four times in scripture, as you know, let's run to it very quickly. The Bible talks about the just living by faith. Number one, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Media, let's work together. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. It says, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by his faith. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The third scripture for reference, Galatians 3:11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Then the last scripture, Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So four times in scripture, cutting across the Old and the New Testament, the Bible tells us that when it has to do with living, the just lives by faith. Hallelujah. And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 19. Romans 10 and verse 19 tells us now that this faith that the just lives by. Did I get that? Romans. Please find it for me. Faith cometh by hearing. 17. Thank you. You correct it just right. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh. Somebody say faith cometh. That means before faith arrives, it is not there. And when faith comes, you will know it. Is that true? Faith cometh. And that the technology is that by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't assume you understand what I'm saying. Please pay attention. God is teaching us this. We are discussing the subject of commanding the supernatural. So that you will understand this for yourself. And then you can help another believer too. To command very, very supernatural dimensions of results. If you're in agreement, say amen. Everything the believer does in this kingdom is faith dependent. Faith dependent. Every victory that we will ever get and walk in the experience of is faith dependent. Now, as you've heard me say, I'm going to repeat it again, and I want you to listen very carefully this time, that faith is predicated on two main attributes of God. Please write it down. Bible faith is predicated on two attributes of God. There are two attributes of God that are responsible for producing faith in the believer. Faith that walks. Faith that moves mountains. Are you ready? Number one, his integrity. His integrity. His integrity. His integrity. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Read with me. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That means, this is the reason why you can trust God, that the moment he says a thing, then expect that there will be a performance. The moment he speaks a thing, there will be a doing connected to it. Are we together? Genesis 21 from verse 1 and 2. Genesis 21 from verse 1 and 2. We are examining the integrity of God as one of the platforms for producing Bible faith. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2. It says, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, please look up, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he exists. The word he is there means he exists. And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say hallelujah. That means when we seek him, we don't seek him in vain. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. His integrity. The word integrity is very important, because it comes from the word integer. Sameness, consistency, predictability. As within, so without. That is the essence of the word integrity. God has integrity. Are we together? Yes. Tomorrow is Valentine. I'm just informing you. And there are people who, because of the reality of the burden that the season demands, can go so far to invent all kinds of skills to lie and say, I'm in Lagos, whereas they are here, or all kinds of things. They don't have to be evil. They are men. They do not have integrity. Are we together? It's just an example. Don't harass anybody. Don't tempt me to say anything about Valentine. I intend to just let it lie there. Praise God. Integrity. We live in a world today where people have made all kinds of promises. Is that true? And have not been able to keep it. And if we are to be honest with ourselves, all of us at one point or the other have been victims of this. There is something you once said that you probably did not do. Not because you did not want to do it. Probably you told a family, I am coming to visit you, and your flights did not leave on time. It does not matter what the excuse is. With respect to that performance, it is still not a show of integrity. But the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Do you know what that means? When God is determined to say or do something concerning your life, you can take that word. That means, listen, most times we speak, you know, one of the principles of integrity is the second one that I'm going to talk about. They are interconnected. You must check your ability before you speak. It's one of the principles of integrity. If I stand and I'm motivated and I go somewhere where there is a building project and they are looking for $10 billion for the building project, and I'm excited because of how they clap for me, and I just stand there irrationally speaking like many people do, and I say on behalf of myself and Koinonia we donate $4 billion, you'll be looking at me while I'm talking, believing I know what I'm saying. Are we together? And I now go back and the organizers call and say, we thank you so much. So how is the transfer going to be made? Is it going to be just a single transfer? We are happy for this. And I said, don't worry. Now I begin to think, how will I make this thing happen? You see, I may be sincere, but it is not integrity. I'm explaining something to you so you understand. God does not speak and go back biting his finger to say, I said too much. No. If God looks at you and says, this year, you must rise. That word. Listen. There are no guarantees in life. Honestly, believe me when I tell you this. God will send you to do things and he will send you to places that don't have any human guarantee. The guarantee is the word he gave you and the person who gave you that word. When God told me to come to Abuja here, there was nobody signed any form to say, you just come, we'll support you. No. God said it, I trust you, we die there. You see that? Listen, this is the character of faith most people do not know. God will never tell you what you can do. He will never tell you what is possible before your eyes. God will speak to you like he's speaking to himself. In fact, one of the ways you can verify it is God speaking is that it must be a mountain bigger than you. If God tells you something that is so easy within your reach, go back to bed and pray again. You had a demon, not God. Listen, God will speak to you as a kingdom financier. And while you have just 5-10 million in your account, home and abroad, God is going to be saying, write the list of mission agencies that you are going to be building houses for them. And you are writing and feeling stupid that you are hearing God. You regret pressing into clarity of hearing because now you don't have an excuse to say it's not God you are hearing. And you write out over 30, 40, 50 mission agencies. And God says, a time will come soon when you will be giving them at least $1 million every year. And while you are writing there, you are laughing at yourself. Your wife comes to check what you are writing, you cover it because you know that if she sees that thing. Hear me. You are writing it knowing that the one who speaks does not have a future. There is nothing like future with God. So he's not waiting to see. He has already, listen, if God speaks, every mechanism to be put in place to make sure that word comes to pass, if you understand his ways, it's already there. One of the ways you know that your season is ready is when God speaks. God does not speak when things are not ready. I've taught you this, maybe not in Abuja. I hope that we'll have the time to discuss it. To know that the voice of silence is the voice of God too. When God is not talking, he's saying something. You need to understand the language of silence. Are we together? There are many of us right now who have plans and goals and visions that from a human standpoint, when you look at it, as at January, God told you you will celebrate Christmas in your own house. This is February already, you are laughing. Because the investment you were hoping will work, you've not heard from them and it looks like what you are hearing is not very, the bank is not cooperating with you. When he said that, you said amen. Because someone was going to buy a property under your care. And you were hoping 10% from buyer and seller will come. You see, the thing about God is, God speaks in a way that nothing around you will attempt to replace him. If there is something that he can ease, that can easily take his place, he will not speak. I know what I'm saying, no? His integrity. Now, listen. How are you sure that I don't have some money in my pocket? Maybe I have something, maybe $100, 100 naira, something in my pocket. If I say come and collect it. And you are looking at the signs to check whether is there any shape of money or whatever it is. That's already unbelief, because you will not get anything that way. Remember what James said, let that man not think he will get anything from God. I'm just giving you an example, right? If I tell you, come, leave your job, let me make it serious, leave your job, leave everything and come to me here, and I will give you something from this pocket now that can build you a house, buy you a car, and sort you for the rest of your life. It's just an example. If I ask you, come, let me give you something you will eat with today. It makes sense, because notes are usually flat and small. But I say, leave your job, come and stand, and let me put my hand in this flat pocket and give you something that you will use for the rest of your life. You will most likely not believe it, but that is the character of faith. Before you focus on what God is saying, focus on who is talking. Are we together? See, God is mighty. I'm praying for you that every unbelief that makes you believe God is small, every unbelief that makes you think God is a joker or he's praying April Fool with you, I pray that it will leave your life now in the name of Jesus Christ. I have seen God do things in this small life. I have seen God move in ways that no human explanation would suffice. I have seen God do things in my life. I have seen God do things in this ministry that at the time he said it, it did not make sense. But total dependence on his word. God is speaking to you tonight. He has told you many things that don't look impossible. That don't look possible. I want you to stand and trust him. He's told you, mother, that before you go to be with the Lord, you will see God lift your children. And as it is, none of them seems to be showing any signs of a visionary life. I want you to trust that word and trust the one speaking. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that Babuanikamurka. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that Babuanikamurka. Yeah. Babuanikamurka. Ya Yesu, Babuanikamurka. Babuanikamurka. Ya Yesu, Babuanikamurka. Lord, I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that. Listen, I was in Cameroon last year when this song came. It was in the morning. I was meditating on the faithfulness of God on this subject of faith. This is the first time we're singing it here. I'm sure soon this my people will find a way and sing it. I was meditating on everything God began to tell me. Usually I travel, and I travel with my notebooks. Notebooks of 10, 15 years. And I open those rough notebooks and I see some of the things. And usually when I write what God said, I put dates. And I'm looking at some of those things. And I said, that was when this song came. That I've searched and searched. Let me tell you this, never laugh at a man that God has spoken to. You will bite your fingers in shame for the rest of your life. You may see a woman now. You may see mama now. You may see that preacher. Two members. No nothing. If God has spoken, I want you to clear the way. Because you are about to write another epistle of God's wonder and faithfulness. There are some of you seated here. The call of God is upon your life. You are still in your season of training. Don't be intimidated by the enormity of the call. Don't ask where the money will come from. Don't ask where the anointing will come from. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. God has integrity. God has integrity. God has integrity. He can be depended upon. Listen to me. Time will fail me to tell you things that God said would happen in my life, would happen in this ministry, that made no sense whatsoever as at the time he said it. Bible faith is not just based on a verse of scripture. It's based on a recognition. Many people have disappointed you in your life. They said things, I will help you, I will give you a job. Come by January or February. You are used to disappointments and you have added God in the list. When God speaks, his voice is sounding to you like that politician who deceived you. His voice is sounding to you like, no. The King of the universe has integrity. This is the reason why we can tell the whole world, come and hear his counsel as he has given us. And we know they will hear because he asks them to hear. Can I tell you this? Many of you are unable to move in your life. God has told you that house will be built, but you are sitting and wondering. All of the connections you think will help you build the house have failed. And you are sitting there saying, God, will you do it? Can I tell you this? There is something about believing God, even when you don't understand him. Let your mind catch up later on. But for now, I believe you. Shake away that unbelief. Shake away that unbelief. You are not the first to be a millionaire. You are not the first for God to lift. You are not the first person God is speaking to. The Bible is full of men and women who God spoke to them. Ask Abraham. Gideon was hiding in Judges chapter 6. Hiding. When God met him and told him, he said, why are you hiding, Gideon? And he said, why wouldn't I hide? Where are the miracles? Come out of that place of hiding. You are going to defeat the Midianites. The Bible says Gideon blew a trumpet and 30,000 people came. God said, it's too much. This is not how I work. Reduce them so that the glory, there is something I want to do. For some of you, God has spoken to you. You are the breadwinner in your family, a family of over 20 people. And God is saying you will feed them as if you are buying a charge card. And it does not make sense because you are saying, God, I didn't even go to school. And God is saying, can you trust me? There are some of you, helped us under the anointing. There are some of you God sent to Abuja here. You go to Abuja with only one Ghana must go. You are still roaming around wondering, I don't know why I'm here. If God sent you, sit back and watch the monarch of the universe begin to honor your life and honor your obedience. Commanding the supernatural, the integrity of God.
I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that I will only come and cry.
The one who speaks and does it. The one who speaks and has the ability to defend what he has said. Businessman, don't sit down and use your bank balance to determine whether this year will be a great year or not. Take your eyes away from those accounting things and look at Jesus. Jesus told you that this year is your year of marvelous light. Believe it. See, listen. As simple as what I'm teaching you is, you will recycle years of stagnation if you cannot believe God. You want to know how to believe God? Study children. Study children. We have some of our little ones here. If I call these children now, in the midst of this fiery service, I call them and say, Junior, how are you? Fine. What do you want? Aeroplane. You hear what the boy is saying? I asked him what I wanted. He's not going to say lollipop. Children don't say those things again. We were the ones who said those things. These children say aeroplane. And they mean it. They don't mean the type we used to say. Aeroplane. And then you stand there feeling guilty for asking. Aeroplane. And that child will come back with confidence and remind you, Daddy or uncle or whatever, where is my aeroplane? You were the only one who thought he was playing. In his mind and in his world, he believed that for you to have spoken, you would have vetted your ability to provide it. So when God speaks to you and says, man of God, from where you are, the nations will be hearing your voice. Don't sit down and say, I think I have one auntie in Canada. There is one uncle who loves me. You've already disconnected yourself. That is the reason why most times God allows everything we depend on to fail. Then you come to him and say, God, are you still saying what you said? He said, I've not changed. You are the only one who was going around looking for my word somewhere else. I have not changed. When I said I will lift you, I meant it. When I said I will honor you, I meant it. I hope God is working your heart tonight so that you believe God. There are no guarantees in life. Anybody that gives you any promise of any guarantee is only joking. At every point of every man's life, there are hours he's asleep. And at that time, it's only the God of the universe who gives life. Men have promised and were not able to live up to their promise. There were people who said, in 2 weeks, I will give you an appointment, not knowing by the next day they were going to transfer them. But who transfers God? Who relocates him? Who moves him to another branch? Are we together? Right where you are standing, in 1 minute, lay your hands on your head and curse unbelief. Lord, I'm sorry for not depending on you, for not trusting you. Please follow carefully. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Pray and decree and declare. His integrity. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. The healer can be trusted. The lifter can be trusted. The blesser can be trusted. The announcer can be trusted. The one who empowers can be trusted. The deliverer can be trusted. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Say his ability. That's the next thing. Please sit down. Two attributes of God. Number one is his integrity. His ability to be consistent and stay consistent with what he has said. Number two, his ability. Bible faith is built on the awareness of God's ability. His ability. Second Chronicles chapter 20, let's read from verse 6. Very quickly, please. Second Chronicles, I tell you, there is a build up of fire in this place. Second Chronicles 20, let's start from verse 6. And said, O Lord our God, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Thou rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? We are reading to verse 9. Art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they that dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, verse 9 now, the last verse, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He was talking about a display of the might and the power of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, when we read from verse 2 to 4, popular scripture, 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4. 2 Peter 1, 1, 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power. Say his divine power. His ability. He says his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be the partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His divine power. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is. There are people who are willing but are not able. It takes more than integrity to perform. You can have the willingness, but do you have the ability? I want to give you the job, but I do not have access. You need both integrity and ability. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Listen to me. If you can rest your faith on the integrity of God and on his ability. Do you know what I remember? I think it was during the crusade in my village, day one or day two, I can't remember which of the days now, that we had over in December. There was someone who was seated somewhere in front. I think the person could not walk or something like that. And I stood there, and all of a sudden, I heard in my voice to tell that person to stand up and walk. Do you know? Listen, I'm a human being too. My father and my mother, they are both alive. You think I want to be embarrassed and just come and disgrace myself in the presence of the whole world? No. It takes something more than what your optical eyes is seeing. How do you tell someone who most likely has gone to the hospital and met consultants and is unable to walk, and you look at that person and with one command in the presence of people, you don't send a quiet text message and say, try to move your leg and let me know whether the thing is working? Many of you have been in positions where someone was mandated to believe you, and you felt the pain of not being believed. Is that true? For instance, you tell someone, sit down here, I'll arrange a meal for you. And you return back to find out that the person was trying to make an extra arrangement because the person was not sure. And you look at yourself and say, do I look like someone who will come and waste my time lying to you? You see, that's an example of the pain in the heart of God when we do not trust him. When God says, I'm going to lift you, and you say, God, let me give you a few information that you don't know. One, I'm in Nigeria. Two, I'm not sure you are aware of what Nigeria is going through right now. Number three, are you aware that the family that I come from, it will take deliverance first before prayer or breakthrough and the rest, because of the kind of yokes that are there? And then he's listening to you while you are praying, and then you wrap it up by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. And God says, look at what this person is saying. The Holy Ghost now leads you to the Bible to open it and see the many things that he did. Can I be honest with you? The things you read in this scripture were not parables. They actually happened. That he parted the Red Sea, it actually happened. The sun stood still, it actually happened. John chapter 20, the last verse. Many miracles, the Bible says, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Jesus did not do a few miracles. Many miracles. Give us the last verse. What will be the last verse now? Is it verse 20 or 31? Let's do 30 and 31. Many miracles Jesus did, or many other signs he did in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. 31. It says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Listen to me. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I believe the Lord. I believe his promises over my life, because he is a God of integrity and he has all ability. Now you are manifesting Bible faith. There is a justification for fear, except that when your fear collides with these twofold realities, the integrity of God and the ability of God. One time the father of, I think, an epileptic patient came to Jesus and said that if you are willing, you can help my son. Jesus said, I am willing. See that? And then he manifested his power and the son was healed. There are people who have ability, but they do not have integrity. There are others who have integrity, but they do not have ability. The one who can really help is the one who has both integrity and ability. You doubt whether God has ability? Look at what God is doing through our lives. It will take an unwise person to not see that this is the ability of God. Men cannot do this. There are results that are outside of the range of men. It will take the power of the Holy Ghost, the ability of the Spirit. Is someone learning now? So for whatever it is that God has told you, remember, backing his word is his integrity and his ability. So we can believe him that he tells you this year 2022 will not be like any other year in your life. And yet you read everything in the news and you see that it is negative and negative all through. And the devil now tells you, you better don't fool yourself. Don't create any expectation, because it will not happen. I'm speaking to you tonight by the Spirit. The God that we're talking about is the God of integrity and the God of ability. When you find what he has said from Scripture, when you find what he tells you in your personal place of prayer, you have found the forces that engage his integrity and engage his ability. I've had the privilege of helping many people in my life, and I say this with all humility and to the glory of God. And sometimes people come to me, especially maybe children or something, seeking maybe help, school fees or whatever it is, and many times as I look at them, I'm already wrapped up with compassion, and I'm looking at them and I'm asking myself already, what do I do to help this child? And then you see them come and they say, please, we don't know if you can help our child, and the school fees, maybe it's something as little as 20, 30 or 50,000. And I look at them and I'm happy because I have the ability. It is painful to have integrity and not have ability. And you stand looking at this poor child with tears, holding a good result, but no opportunity for continuity because the wherewithal is not there. And how many of you have been before a situation where you know it is within your power to solve it? That restfulness and that confidence. God will never scratch his head over your issues. No. There is nothing you will ever go through that will make God say, wow, this is interesting. Gabriel and the rest, are you aware of this? Your situation will never be as bad as that of Job. Your situation will not never be as bad as the saints. Samaria, where women were eating their children. Have you eaten your child? Have you considered it? Then the famine is not that bad. And yet, in one day, by this time tomorrow. Literally, by this time tomorrow. Not a prophetic tomorrow, a real timeline tomorrow. And things just change like that. Let me stand by the Spirit and speak to someone. That in the name of Jesus, by this time tomorrow. By this time tomorrow. What you wrote on your prayer request, by this time tomorrow. What you prayed over this morning, what you discussed with your husband, by this time tomorrow. Over the issue of that job, by this time tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. It takes integrity and it takes ability. Some of you, by reason of this teaching tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you a few principles now. We'll pray. You may have to return back home tonight and get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have allowed the circumstances around my life to blind my eyes, to make me think that you are not there for me. I have allowed circumstances in my life, I've allowed things around me to make me feel you are less powerful than you are. But listen to me, God is almighty. He is not just mighty, your situation notwithstanding. Do you believe this about God? God does not do April Fool. God does not play games with people. When He looks at you and says, I am lifting you, find rest. He will. Many things God has spoken to us about that does not make sense right now. Make sure you don't throw that piece of paper. It was you and Him that wrote that. Keep it. And watch the wonder working power of God. Are you blessed? Now, you see the reason why many people's faith does not work. Because their faith is not based, their faith is based on nothing. Permit me to call it a fired faith that is not standing, not backed up and supported by anything. I believe God based on what? I just believe God. Don't ask me that question. I believe you can't get results that way. Why do you believe Him? If they ask you now, why do you believe that God will do it for you? Now you have an answer. Because He's a God of integrity. And because He's a God of ability. Yes. He's a God of ability. He knows where to draw destiny helpers and financial pillars to come and stand by you. Yes, sir. A dear pastor friend, I think a year or two, maybe 3 years ago, he called me one day and he said, Apostle, he said, you have to pray for me. And we're joking. Very nice, wonderful friend. And he said, something happened. A man called me from somewhere and asked and said, they told me you are close to Apostle Joshua Selman. And he said, yes. He said, I want to send so amount to you. Help me and give him. And the man sat down there on that call. And he said, I won't lie to you, Apostle, they didn't pay me. How can this man know that I'm also a man of God and call me and find out and say, do you know Apostle? He has protocol, he has people, he has a finance department, and you now call me as a man of God and then ask me to give you my account number, let you wire money and say, help me and give him. And it's not like you even say, okay, this part is for you, take it. And we laughed over it. It was so funny. But then when I was done with that call, I just thought about it. I said, my God. If it means him using a fish, it will look for you from wherever. A fish has no business. Can the teeth of a fish bite coin? But not when God wants to get it to you. He is that powerful. If it means for a donkey to talk,
no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't fill it out, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No more you will kick out, why you will see that coming after me.
Listen up. Now let me give you very quickly, we're about to pray. My God, the waters have been stirred. Keys to producing Bible faith. Let me give you a few keys right now. Someone is about to fire unbelief out of your life once and for all, that you will begin to produce extraordinary results. Results that will surprise you, that those who knew you January will turn and say, what happened to you from last week to this week? What shifted? And you tell them, my faith from little faith is moved to exceeding great faith. Keys to producing Bible faith. Write it down, please.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. No wall you will seek out,
now please sit down. Listen, I tell you sincerely, I may not claim to understand everything. I'm a student also, even in the school of faith, but believe me when I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. The things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, the things that our hands have handled, even of the word of life, this is what we teach. If you pay attention to what I'm about to share with you, you will manifest Bible faith and command the supernatural in a way that you will be surprised. The mountain you are seeing is only relative to the size of your faith. Listen, a little ant hill, with respect to the ant, it is a skyscraper. But with respect to man, it is something you just walk over. Your faith can add your height in the spirit. You become a giant in the spirit. And now join the heroes of faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, shut the mouth of lions. Are you ready? Please sit down very quickly. Key number one. What does it take to produce Bible faith that commands the supernatural? Number one, light. The first key that controls Bible faith is light. The power of knowledge. Put light / knowledge. Light, knowledge. Knowledge of what? The promises of God. Knowledge of what? The principles of the kingdom. Light. You dominate with respect to the kind of spiritual illumination that you have. Please listen to me. Listen very carefully. You will never rise beyond the level of light and illumination that you have. Psalms 82 and verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Our fathers have cried over the issue of light, high level spiritual illumination, the opening of a man's eyes to know the ways of God. I've taught you here, every koinonia service is a feast of light, God opening our eyes. It takes light to turn night to day. It does not just take time, it takes light. You can be in a dark stadium and then on all the lights, and the lights can come with a coordinated effort and turn that night in that stadium to look like day. That people can play a football match in the night, and yet when you are viewing, you think it is day because of the level of light that is there. Everybody say light. Most believers are ignorant of the promises of God. Most believers are ignorant of the principles of the kingdom. It is the reason why many people cannot manifest Bible faith. Question: what do you know that God has said concerning your finances? What do you know that God has said concerning your excelling in life? What do you know that God has said concerning victory over demons, over principalities and powers? Your faith must be based on what God said. Question: do you know what he has said? And do you know all he has said? Because he did not just say one thing alone. I have taught you here, when Satan came to Jesus, the reply of Jesus was, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread. It is written. It is written. It is written. Even when he was manifesting his purpose and destiny, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me to do thy will. There are things that have been written concerning you. Do you know them? Can I tell you this? It was not Apostle Paul that wrote them. It was not Peter that wrote them. It was not the minor and the major prophets that wrote them. Holy men wrote as they were inspired. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through the mouth and the hands of men. I know what he has said, that I shall be the head and not the tail. I believe it. That I will be above and not beneath. I believe it. Listen, make up your mind to be childlike when it comes to the issue of faith. There is no big manism with faith. Many times the things of faith look very elementary. So many people, in an attempt to show maturity, they ignore these things to their peril. It is this childlike approach that has produced giants of faith. When you listen to fathers like Papa Copeland teaching on faith, sometimes it's so elementary, it looks like they're just, it's like a kindergarten kind of thing. Yet you look at the results, they have defended their understanding of faith for decades, and they are still doing it. Are we learning? Everybody say light. This year, you must make up your mind. Make up your mind that your eyes and your ears will remain gates that will be flooded with light, so that your destiny will be able to command results. When you know little, you cannot do much with little. This is a kingdom that is knowledge dependent. This is the kingdom that is knowledge dependent. Dear people of God, go and find out. Let me tell you this. There is a kind of knowledge that you need. How to know what you don't know. You have to learn how to know what you do not know. How to find out what you do not know. Don't wait for knowledge to come and meet you. Search for it. My finances is not working. And you can take a day or two. Listen to me. In prayer and fasting. Maybe you are a man of God and ministry is struggling financially. Deal with it so that it does not distract you in the future. You don't want to have to manipulate people because of financial pressures. Open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from out of thy law. Lord, I want to walk in integrity as a minister. Open my eyes to sort this area once and for all. And light from heaven. You will see something you have been looking at but was not seeing. And when you stand on the strength of that light, it said, write prosperously because of truth. When you find truth, they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. I look at my life today and with all humility, I thank God for the time and the attention I gave to certain things. I am grateful to Jesus for granting me that attentiveness. Ministry today would have been a disaster if these keys were not found. Let me charge you, therefore, some of you may need to minimize running around and sit down. It is time to feast on light. Light with proof. Are we together? You're a man of God and it looks like the supernatural manifestation of the hand of God is not seen in your life. No miracles, no signs and wonders. You can stay with the word. I remember a time in my life I had my phone had there's this audio, all the words of Jesus, only the words of Jesus, the words of Jesus alone, not any other word. Everything Jesus said in the Bible, they compressed it in an MP3. I would listen to it and sleep and wake up and listen to it and sleep and wake up and listen. I want to hear what Jesus is saying. He must talk to me. Everything in the Gospels down to Revelation, it will repeat. I will put it on auto repeat, and I don't know if it's an advice medically. I'm just telling you what I did. I slept and woke up and slept and woke up and slept and woke up until my spirit knew that something was happening there. You must invest in knowledge. You must invest in knowledge. Please go and buy books. Don't wait for knowledge to come and meet you. Go to Koinonia Global. There are all kinds of teachings. Listen to them. Don't assume that you know. And don't listen once. I submit to you, I'm standing and I'm speaking to the whole world. I would not stand here and tell lies. There are materials, audio materials that I have listened to single-handedly. I know you may think it's exaggeration, but I've listened to them nothing less than 5,000 to 8,000 times. One message. I put it on auto repeat like that and it keeps counting. The goal is not just to be aware of what is being said. The goal is to transport it into my spirit. The alternative to this pathway is to go and look for power somewhere. And it backfires back on you. But if this is how you want to take God's way, God is not a magician. He's a miracle worker. This is the labor dimension of faith that most people do not want. These scriptures that I'm quoting is not just coming from heaven. Thank God for His grace. But there was something in my mind for the Holy Ghost to work with. Yes, it's God speaking through me. But He's using my brain and my mind too to speak. Are we together? There are believers today. Tell me one scripture you know concerning your protection. Nothing. Tell me one scripture you know concerning your victory. Nothing. Tell me one scripture you know that tells you your home is secured. Nothing. Tell me one scripture you know. Nothing. I just know God is faithful. We know general statements like that. God is faithful. He can't fail me. I know. Tell me one scripture you know that guarantees that ministry will not fail for you. Tell me one scripture you know that guarantees that God will use you greatly. As I'm saying it now, just do the rehearsal in your mind. Many of you will find out that in truth, there is almost nothing. No. I found your word and I did eat it. It was a joy and I rejoice into my soul. Is God challenging us? Go and get Bible on tape. Go and get Bible on MP3. Get all kinds of things. Listen to it. Put a flash behind your television that has scripture playing. Listen to it. instead of listening to something that is Luciferian and is destroying your life. The remaining small faith that you had died as soon as you listened to it. I'm not saying don't disconnect with your world, no, but invest in your spirit. You are going far. And can I tell you, the days that we live in, it is men who have faith that will survive these days. Believe me. You cannot use another man's faith. The same way you cannot use another man's light to drive. He can help you temporarily, but you will need your own headlamp to drive. Two. What is the second key to producing Bible faith? Meditation. Meditation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please, from verse 15 to 16. Let's hurry up so we can pray. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Read with me, please. Koinonia is projected. Ready? One to read. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Do you know what it means to meditate? To meditate means to ponder until understanding is established. To meditate does not just mean to look. The goal of meditation is to produce understanding. Knowledge gives you awareness. Meditation gives you understanding or comprehension. Now you understand the working knowledge of that principle behind what you have read. Most believers don't meditate. Unfortunately, did you know that most of the world religions encourage meditation? Even though they have the way they do it, but people sit down and meditate until their bodies, their spirits leave their bodies. Believers don't meditate. How in the world are you going to study a scripture when you are running to go and get some food in the kitchen and your Bible is on your hand and you quickly come back and you just say, I've finished it. At least I finished one chapter now. You look for 1-3 verse or 4 verse chapter in Psalms and just read it and just breeze it over. And contained in it is the power to set you free. Let me tell you the power of meditation. All the disciples came to check for the resurrected Jesus and they did not see him. In a hurry they ran back, yet he was there. But a woman came and she looked at the tomb, it was empty, and she refused to go. She stood at the garden there and she kept looking. She kept looking, looking at the tomb. All of a sudden she saw two angels and said, this Jesus, began to talk to her. It took staying there to see. The disciples came and they just looked and ran back. But the woman stayed there until she saw. Meditation means to stay till you see. God, I've listened to many messages about finances. I've listened to many messages about spiritual power, about the gifts of the Spirit. But there has to be something I do not understand. Open my eyes. Now the Spirit of God can refer you to a message that you will listen to that will buttress on that point. At the end of it, you say, this is it. By the next time you go for a meeting, it will be as if you put a charm in your pocket. There will be such manifestation of the power of God because you have found it. Someone prophesy, I will find it. In the name of Jesus. The mystery that connects your today and your tomorrow, you will find it in meditation. As you are meditating, give the Holy Spirit a chance to show you things that can change your life. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to show you things that can turn your life around. I listen to my own teachings myself. I don't say I'm the one who preached it. I listen to it. This message now, I'm going back to listen to it. No matter how tired, I discipline myself to listen. Because in it, I will hear something that came from him through me. Most believers are lazy. Meditation is a labor dimension of faith. You will take out time and sit down and think. The psalmist will usually say sila. Sila means stop and ponder and think. I've taught you here that there are times you can listen to a message of 1 hour. For 6 hours, because you are stopping after 5 minutes. What did he just say? and you have to look for another scripture and look at it and repeat again until your spirit hears something. I pray for someone, as you begin to meditate, may you hear what others did not hear. May you see what others did not see. In the name of Jesus Christ. Are we together? Number three, are you ready now? The third step to manifesting Bible faith is the power of prayer. Prayer. Mark 11:24. You cannot divorce Bible faith with prayer. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, not if you pray, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Prayer. You've studied the word, you've understood it, and many times you see, prayer is like salt. You don't really pray too early or too late. Any part of the faith equation, you can water it down just like salt. If you cook with a salty water, the food will not go bad just because it's a salty water. If you forget to add salt at the end of the cooking, you can still put the salt. Prayer is like that. So from the beginning of your study, you can start praying. Even while meditating, you can start praying. And then you can allocate a proper time for prayer. Let me tell you how to pray this kind of prayer. You see, when you are praying the kind of prayer that produces faith, you have to pray in line with the area or the issue where you are trusting God to see results in. Are we together? Yes. Aside from praying in tongues, you can now pray in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, this grace for favor is coming upon me. I'm studying favor. I know that I need it. I've found out the necessity for favor in my life. I've studied it. I've studied materials. And you are praying. Your mind is on the idea of prayer while favor while you are praying. Believers don't pray. Or we pray amiss. You can pray. I spent 1 month. It was even in February, I remember. I don't know what year, and I can't remember. I wrote it down. I spent 1 month studying on favor. Because I found out that ministry is hard without favor. If the favor of God is not on you, you will do ministry as if God did not call you. You will suffer financially. You will suffer emotionally. Nothing will happen in your life. And you may think it is not an issue, except that you wouldn't know when you begin to compromise in ways that will surprise you because of financial pressure. So I knew that if I did not get the favor of God, it would be risky. I studied, read materials, every scripture that talks about favor in the Bible, as far as we know. I read it and meditated upon it, studied the lives of specific people according to the scripture that says, follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. Studied the lives of people who I saw the favor of God working. The day that grace landed, I knew it had arrived. I welcomed it. It was a triumphant entry into my life. And I shut the gate. You are not going out again. Now that you are in here, and when it comes, he speaks. You think you just like me just like that? No. I just felt embarrassed over what I said, but it's true. You don't just like people like that, my dear people. There is a grace. So if everybody hates you in your office, before they sack you, go and get teachings on favor. Remember what I taught you about territorial dominion? Evil will continue when you leave it. When you see signs of hatred, it's already that favor is not there. Don't sit down and be hoping that they will sack. Which one is easier, to lend favor or pray that the manager will be sacked? Learn the principles of favor and stay there. What if the person who hates you is the owner of the company? When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Please don't downplay what you are learning today. the favor of God upon your life. All of a sudden you come to a place and you see that God himself begins to open doors for you. Your life becomes an expression of the mercy and the grace of God. And people will come to meet you and say, how come this is happening? You will tell them it's the grace of God. But you will explain to them too that I can show you there is a way. There is a way the favor of God can come upon a man. Many of us here are in need of that grace for favor. It is clear. Everybody say prayer. So we're exploring the keys to Bible faith. Number one, knowledge, light. Number two, meditation. Number three, prayer. Please invest time praying. You're not going to have strong faith without a rich and a robust prayer life. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Take out time to pray. Use your night if God grants you that grace. Most people are busy in the day, except if you dedicate the day for a retreat. Use your night and pray. While you are praying, every unbelief is giving way, and now you can trust God. Number four, are you ready? The fourth key to releasing Bible faith is word-based confession. Word-based confessions. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Let's hurry up, please. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the prosperous of the Lord say so. Let the lifted of the Lord say so. The first instruction is say. The second instruction is don't say what you want. Say what he said. Say so means repeat as you have heard. Homologio. Confess. Repeat as you have heard. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, I am redeemed. Let the blessed of the Lord say, I am blessed. Let the lifted of the Lord say, I am lifted. So you don't just talk. Your words become a Bible-based confession if it is in line with what God has said. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Exalted by the Spirit of God. According to Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Are we together now? You have to believe this. By the power of the Spirit. That in the name of Jesus, no divination and enchantment. I don't know about you, but about me, no divination. Surely they shall gather, but because their gathering is not of the Lord, they will scatter as soon as they gather. You are in ministry, you better know this. Because I tell you sincerely, it is only God, when we get to heaven, that you will see the amount of divinations and enchantments daily over your life. I say humorously that it's only when we get to heaven that we'll know what part of the food we ate that was designed to kill us. And that's the one you probably enjoyed. May no evil come near your dwelling. In 1 minute, while you are seated, I want you to open your mouth and begin to declare everything you know the word says about you. Don't think this is a childish act in the spirit. Speak. I am the head, and in the name of Jesus, I am not the tail. Above and not beneath. Gentiles, come to my light. Kings, to the brightness of my rising. In the name of Jesus Christ, I grow in wisdom. I grow in stature. I grow in favor with God and with man. I spend my life serving the purposes of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, the fullness of my days I fulfill. 1,000 shall fall by my side. Someone speak. 10,000 by my right side. None shall hurt me. With my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. Pray. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? In the name of Jesus Christ,
immune from the scorching tongues of men. I go from glory to glory, grace to grace. In the name of Jesus, I am like a well-watered garden planted in the house of God. Therefore, I flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, I am fat and flourishing. Someone prophesy. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commands. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Speak over your body. I walk in health in the name of Jesus Christ. Longevity is my portion. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this? Listen, listen, please. Listen. One of the assignments of the spirit of depression is to bring you to a point of silence where you no longer can speak. The only thing that comes out of your mouth is Nigeria. That's not a word-based confession. When you wake up in the morning while you are stretching, that should be your speaking. This is the day that the Lord has made. When you are leaving your house in the morning, you get up with joy. My going out is blessed. My coming in is blessed. I am blessed in the city. When you are about to travel to your village, you confess that I am also blessed in the country. To yourself, it's not helping anything. You speak the word of God. Call your children. Can I tell you, parents, let me charge you. As your children get up before they go to school, lay hands on them. Give them confessions to make. I'm blessed, highly favored, anointed, serving Jesus. That's right. And you give them a big hug, forward march to school. So that before they hear rubbish there is already a covering of scripture. Don't let other people speak into the life of your children and you are silent. Part of the assignment of priesthood is speaking. Speak over your home. Walk around from the kitchen to the bathrooms and you are declaring, in the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord is upon this house. Everyone who steps his feet in this house is blessed. I decree and declare. Carry the photo of your loved ones. Lay hands on it. Carry the photo of your family members. Lay your hands on it. Decree and declare. Declare ye that thou mightest be justified. Confession. Are you learning now? Bible faith is released at the instance of confession. I made up my mind to love Jesus so much, but to love my destiny too so much. You will never coerce me into speaking negatively about my destiny. I could laugh over things when I hear people say it, but even my spirit knows what I take seriously. I have no business saying anything over my life and my destiny that I do not intend for it to happen. Are we together? Parents, let's manage anger and trust God for victory over it. Because many of us have produced children that look like they are cursed, and that curse came from us. When you call a child stupid boy, you call a child arm robber, you call a child whatever, prostitute, you call a child whatever name, by the time they get to teenage, that prophecy has built, many of us, that's what has been hovering around your head. Negative things. Doll head. How are you? And they force you to say, sir, and you are agreeing. And before you know it, you find out that nothing works for you. But let me speak over your life. If there is anybody who has spoken over your life, whether in ignorance, and they have said things over you that is hanging over your life, I stand tonight by the privilege of priesthood, and I declare every negative speaking over you that has been programmed to your destiny, let it leave your destiny now in the name of Jesus. Please sit down. We're almost done. Number 5. The third step to releasing Bible faith is
actions of obedience. Please underline that one. This is a major requirement if it is to be called Bible faith. In addition to knowledge, in addition to meditation that produces understanding, in addition to prayer, addition to confession, your faith should not just stop with confession. This is the major challenge of Pentecostals and Charismatics. We have defined the entire scope of acting upon the word to just speech. It does not end in speaking. There is a doing. Actions of obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. Just write it for reference. It says, it shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do. Take note. To observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations of the earth too, and this blessing shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There is the doing of faith. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Then it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You see your mouth, you see meditation. Now it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. John 13 and verse 17. Final scripture for that point. John 13 and verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The doing part is where many believers miss it out on the equation of faith. Most believers do not do. Haven't heard, received instructions, we do not do. The Holy Ghost speaks to you, you do not do. Scripture speak to you, there is no doing. And every time there is no doing, you do not commit God to perform. Bishop Oedeko says, faith is not just saying what God has said. Faith is doing what God has said. The demands that commit his integrity to perform. For instance, you want to prosper. You are finding out the secret of kingdom prosperity. Now you've learned God has spoken about giving and all of that. It does not just stop in giving alone. There is a place of diligence and value and productivity. Now you are a giver. You've given tithe, you've given offerings, but you are not productive. You are going to be poor. Believe me, at best you will struggle. You will just have one-time breakthroughs that come. But you cannot perpetuate wealth that way. A diligent hand shall be made fat. Are we together? You are a man of God and you desire excellence in ministry. There is an engracing of God that comes upon you to anoint you. But it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means there is a place for study. And if you do not stay with material, stay with the Holy Ghost to study, shame will be imminent. Most believers do not satisfy the conditions that are connected to the promises they desire to see happen in their lives. Can I tell you this? Every promise of God to you has a condition connected to it. Find out the condition and obey. Find out the condition and obey. For instance, the Bible is clear as to those who serve idols. That you cannot serve idols and serve the living God. You cannot mix fresh water and salty water together. There are people who serve idols and then they come to church and expect things to work well for them. I've shared with you the scripture. Woe to those who go down to Egypt. Those who pass through fire and do all kinds of necromancy and divination. If it is not Jesus Christ only, then it is not him at all. Are we together? I'll tell you the reason why many people live defeated lives, even in the area of finances. Sincerely speaking, and I'm not, this is an opinion. In my opinion, I believe that most people are lazy, and then those who work are not productive. Being productive is not activity, it is intelligence. Intelligence on your labor is what brings productivity. Many people are just shadow boxing and hustling, laboring from morning till night. They are not circumspect. The Bible says to be circumspect, to walk as wise and not as unwise. Conserve your energy and coordinate it intelligently. Are we together? Yeah. Actions of obedience. There is a direct connection between relationships and victory and excellence. The Bible teaches that. So after you have studied the principles, then you now begin to learn the principles of relationships, so that by it God will connect you to strategic destiny helpers, like the law of honor, like the law of value. You understand these principles, you are now ready to rise. You are only having the readiness to judge every disobedience if and when your own obedience is complete. Believers, listen to me please. You must be ready to act on the word. You must be ready to take steps of obedience. Please underline that. Because for many of us, this is where we have found wanting. We know what God said should be, but we have not taken our time to study the demands. The demands for an excelling life. The demands for an anointed life. It does not just come by luck. Actions of obedience. Number six. Am I right on that? The sixth key to producing Bible faith is thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Thanksgiving. Do not downplay this principle. It is powerful. Thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. The word careful there. I'm repeating this because I want you to learn. My intent is for you to get knowledge. Be careful or anxious really for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Someone shout, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One more time, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Can I tell you this? Thanksgiving is proof of faith. Knowing that the God you are praying to is the God of integrity and the God of ability, you can thank him even in advance. Lord, I thank you because I know you always hear me. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Father, I thank you. At the tomb of Lazarus, will thanksgiving be the right thing to do at the tomb of a man who had died 3 days? Father, I thank you because you always hear me. When Jesus was about to distribute bread, to multiply bread, the Bible says he lifted it and he gave thanks. Thanksgiving is a mystery that multiplies. Everything you thank God for cannot remain at the level that it was as at the time you were thanking him. Please look up to me. Let me teach you a powerful principle. Resist the temptation that comes to make you complain about what you think God has not done. For many of us, we need to go back and say, Lord, thank you. I may not be in my own house, but thank you that I have rent to pay without stress. My children may not be doing well in school, but thank you that I have children, male and female. Nigerians, we have to be careful. I know that things may be challenging as a nation, which is not unusual with the nations of the earth, especially at this time. But let me tell you sincerely, you must learn to say thank you. Someone again say, thank you, Jesus. You will hardly have the opportunity to complain when you're wrapped up in thanksgiving. You get up in the morning, Lord Jesus, thank you. This is a beautiful day that you have made. I am grateful. Thank you because you love me. I can rest in your love. Thank you because I can trust you. Thank you because this is a great day. Thanksgiving is powerful. There is an energy that comes from thanksgiving that edifies even you, the one giving thanks. You don't want to be around a naggy, negative person.
Tomorrow is Valentine. Again, Thanksgiving. Maybe I should just say a word or two. Don't depress yourself by saying, my husband, I've been watching him. He has not gone out to buy anything. My wife, my this and that. Please, for God's sake, give your destiny a chance to be happy. And tomorrow is an opportunity to defend your wisdom. Are we together? You get up in the morning. Lord, it is only the living that can praise you. I am grateful. Thank you. It is, I have only Gary in the kitchen, but Lord, I say thank you. In as much as I know and I expect a lot more than this, but I am saying thank you. Somebody again say thank you, Jesus. Apostle, you don't know, there's not so much in my bank account. Still say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was told that there was someone who was angry with life and he was going to go and hang himself. And he warned his wife and all the people around him. He said, if you see me going to hang myself, don't even try to come near me to say sorry. Just allow me to do what I want to do. And as he was on his way to go and hang himself, grumbling and saying, this life is not fair and all of that, he saw someone who was watching him. And he said, why are you looking at me? And he says, please, can you, since you are going to die, can you remove the clothes that you have and help me with it? Because it doesn't, once you hang, there's no issue of nakedness. Can you help me with these clothes on your way to go and die? And the person said, really? And it occurred to him that he had taken the clothes that he had even for granted, and he was going to go and hang himself. And here was someone praying, saying, since you are going to go and die, please help me with your clothes. Can I tell you this? Your current level, no matter what level you are, is somebody's prayer point. Let me repeat it. Your current level, spiritually, economically, etc., is somebody's prayer point. Do not take your eyes away from what God has done, and then you look at the things he has not done and you begin to nag and complain and get angry. One more time, say thank you, Jesus. I know that I want to stretch to begin to pray for 5-6 hours, but the fact that I have a consistent prayer life, even if it's 10 minutes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The fact that I can love you and somebody can give me money to bribe me and I can say no, thank you, Jesus. Believers, we need to live thankful lives. One of the ways to walk by faith is to see what God is doing all the time and say thank you. Lord, we're in this self-contained. Is it that we can't grow? Is it that this family? Thank you, Jesus. It's not a license to remain in mediocrity, but let me tell you, thanksgiving is powerful. When you thank him, multiplication will always come. Thank him for the little you have. Thank him for the job that you have. Don't complain every time you see people applying for that same job that you want to leave. Yes, you can leave, but thank him for it. Don't live in anger and you are frowning around. I don't know what kind of man I married. Except this man is as if he doesn't hear the message. He's always looking at the preacher and nothing is entering his head. Why don't you go back and say, Lord, thank you. At least I have a husband. And at least, even though the man acts the way he's acting, thank God that he submits to the authority of Jesus. You think that's a little issue? The head over you, you want to know who he submits to. If it is not Jesus, you are in trouble. Lift your eyes and say thank you. When you go back home, say thank you. Some of you will need to roll on the ground and say thank you, Jesus. You kept me alive. This is February. Don't wait until it is December before you carry some false rolling on the ground. You can thank him every day and you can thank him every time. The last key, and then we'll wrap up. The last key that activates Bible believing faith is patience. Patience. Hebrews 6:12. Patience. that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith with patience. Most people are not patient on God. Can I tell you the truth? There are times that God would seem to come for you immediately. But there are times that God will connect his manifestation with the law of process. And you will need time. Is God speaking to someone now? Because we live in a world of hurry, sharp, sharp. If it does not happen immediately, it is not God. We want instant growth, instant anointing, instant maturity, instant everything. There are times that no matter how spiritual you are, you will need to subscribe to the law of time. And the reason why God allows time sometimes is because you are not yet matured and ready to receive that blessing. So, while it is in process coming, he's training you and building your mind. There are people today who, if you check their prayer requests here, what they wrote, instead of them to write something gradually, they can write something like 11 billion or 20 billion. And the person who is writing that kind of thing, he has never held even 1 million of his own money. I can tell you, God is a God of speed, but he's not a foolish God. 11 billion for some people may be like recharge card. But for some people, that is what will send you to hell. And God loves you too much. His son died for your sins. He's not going to just play with your salvation. $11 billion is a lot of money, no matter how much money you have. Are we together? $11 billion can do many things. It can kill, including you, the holder of the money. There are many things you have no business thinking about that it will force you to think about. There are many places you have no business going. That's what I mean by it can kill. Everybody say patience. One more time, say patience. Listen to me. This is where the devil cheats many of us. I've said this for many years. If God wants to give you, just to use an example, if God wants to give you 1 million next week, Satan will give you 200,000 now. 5 naira. So that it will look plenty. Because you are in darkness, you will not know it's 5 naira. You think you have so much money until you come to the light and you find out that you've been piling 5 naira. Can I tell you? Every time you cannot wait for Isaac, you will give birth to Ishmael. Every time you cannot wait for Isaac, you will give birth to what will fight Isaac when he comes. It's true. Impatience has cheated many believers. Many believers. 2 weeks to your breakthrough. But you couldn't wait. And you said, you know what? I'm resigning that job. As soon as you just resigned, they just told you that all the people in your level, the company just had a breakthrough and they distributed all of them to go and be director somewhere. You ran back and they said, don't near this company again. Just go. Don't near this place again. I have learned the power of patience. Even in ministry, you must be very patient with God as he makes you. You must be patient with God as he builds you. Listen carefully, I'm wrapping up now. There are many of us right now, the one problem you have is impatience. You do not have the patience to allow the word of God manifest in your life. That obsession for everything to happen now, it may not be like that. It is impatience that is driving many, many young people in this country to get into practices. What does money ritual seek to achieve? It's impatience. The person wants to become a billionaire overnight.
Impatience. Impatience has pushed people to join gangs, clubs, demonic, satanic organizations, covenants that will plague their children and their children's children because of impatience. Listen to me. We live in a world where when people see you and they say, oh, I was your classmate, I was your this, till now you don't have a car, till now you don't have this and that, usually you will feel indicted and you feel that pressure. There is power in patience. Because you give God a chance to prepare a table before you and with honor bring you into seasons that will last. Are we together? Impatience is dangerous. It has destroyed people. It has destroyed ministries. It has destroyed businesses. It has destroyed relationships. It has destroyed marriages. It has destroyed families. Impatience. You need to give God a chance for His word to work in your life. I made up my mind that I will continue to press for the best of God. But can I tell you, every level where God has not brought me in, I have no business going there. Whatever God has given me, if God gives me a cup with tea and bread, I will take it with honor while I wait for the day turkey will arrive. You can force yourself to catch turkey somewhere and suffer because you don't have the backing of God. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't be under pressure to eat tomorrow today. Don't be under pressure to wear tomorrow today. Nigerians, let's be careful. Africans, let's be careful. There are people who borrow everything. Borrow clothes, borrow whatever. The only thing you are permitted to borrow is vessels. Borrow vessels, borrow not a few. Help that person, please. Are we together? Get out of a fake life and be patient. Anybody who laughs at you, if you can stay in one bedroom now, stay there with honor and be saving the money that God is helping you with. Don't get faith is not foolishness. The pressure to show that the word is working is what has driven a lot of people into trouble. And beware of associations that force you to step into a tomorrow that God has not brought you there. You have friends and they tell you they are going to an expensive restaurant. Some of them may have wealthy parents and they are going to spend 500,000 that night. 500,000 is all you have home and abroad. Don't make that mistake of carrying your destiny and making the mistake of Esau. Are we together? It's one of the prayers that I prayed for myself, that God should never allow me succumb to the pressure of moving before my time and entering seasons that were not ordained of Him. It is powerful when God opens the door for you. With honor and with nobility, you will enter a door. But you can force yourself and tie at the door there. There are people today who are in debt because they got into things that their faith level had not reached. To prove a point. If your child, you cannot pay 3.5 million naira for the child, look for a school that is within your range. Every range has a school fees that, there are people there who are giving their best. Are we together? I say it respectfully, especially for those of us who live in the FCT here. We have to be careful. When I came into this city, I found a spirit that makes people to do things that they have not yet gotten to. There is a pressure to show that you are succeeding. People will borrow a car, borrow anything at all. Why fake what can be real? Be patient. Are we together? You practice this that I've taught you tonight. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you will find your faith working and you will see yourself working in the supernatural in a way that will bless you. These are not my opinions. These are truths that I live by. Our fathers of faith have shown us this pathway. It pays to follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. For someone, God is speaking to you right now. Kill impatience in your life.
is going to drive you into debt. It will drive you into hypertension. Avoid unhealthy comparison. Avoid unhealthy comparison. This one has this. That one has that. What a, you can be inspired. But reject associations that put pressure on you. Anybody who cannot appreciate you the way they are, the way you are, it then means that you should not even be in those circles. Are we together? There are many of us who are doing well, respectfully speaking, even as parents, until we joined certain groups that started putting pressure on our finances. You were doing well, and your wife is cooperating with you. She knows that you don't earn so much, and she's willing to be patient. But we started joining all kinds of groups and associations that destroy our potential for growth. It's always said to cut your coat according to your size. It is true. I know what I can do in ministry at this level. I know what I cannot do in ministry at this level. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not embarrassed with growth. I will grow patiently to what God intends for me to be. I will never give myself sleepless night because of any of... No. Is someone speaking to us now? Yes. Reject the pressure that comes with this world that we live in today. You mean at this level you are not in your own house? Maybe that can challenge you. It can inspire you. That's fine. But the moment it intimidates you and you say, no, between now and April, I must buy a house. I don't care how the money comes. Satan will say, what did you say? You are inviting me. And of course he will come. Let me challenge you. Not everything is receivable from people. Have the maturity to vet people before you receive things from them. This is the house of the Lord. So you learn this before we pray. Even as a man of God, there are people who have brought gifts for me. And sometimes I look at what they want to give me and I look at the person. I'm not belittling them, but I understand the law of process. Where did this come from? Your mindset defends your results. And there are things that when you want to do and you don't have a mental construct that defends it, there is problem. There are people who have wanted to give me certain gifts and I just blessed them and laughed over it and prayed on it and gave them back. Someone just comes and is looking like an armed robber and looks at you and says, here is the paper of an estate. And because your hand is always collecting everything, you collect something and by the next day, they say, don't talk, just follow us. You say, what? Just follow us. And you see, newspaper will not say they gave you a gift. Exposed, you know, journalists. Patience can save you a lot of things. There are people, they come to you and they say, look, there is something you can make money in 2 weeks. You should be afraid already. Are we together? You come and drop prayer requests here. You see me kneeling down, sweating and praying, and you don't pay attention to that prayer. You stand up and go somewhere. And the moment someone tells you, come, let's go somewhere, you are all, look, the Bible gives us wisdom. Run away. You get to a point of no return and start fraternizing with demon spirits. Dip your hand in blood, eat human flesh, go through dehumanizing things. Preachers, listen. Our lives and even ministries in level. Don't rush your season. If God gives you 20 members, teach them with honor. Teach them with your whole heart. Don't say, Apostle Joshua Selman, whatever he's doing, I must get that grace. I can pray for you. If it's not part of your call, it will not work. Can I be honest with you? I thank God for what God has done in ministry today, but sincerely, I stand before the God of heaven and he sees my heart. If this is the only congregation that God gives me worldwide to be able to lead them, it is an honor and a privilege. I will lead and preach and shout like never before. Pressure. Impatience has cheated many people. Be patient with Nigeria too. Let me repeat it. Be patient with Nigeria too. Some of you are running to nations whose catastrophe is on the way coming too. Don't you think that the Bible says darkness shall cover? The one you have seen now is better. At least you have seen it. You can walk away around it. The one you have not seen. I'm not saying don't travel abroad. You understand what I'm saying? Save journey, you go if God is leading you there. But there are many people who left living like kings in Nigeria and went to live like slaves somewhere in the name and guise of greener pastures. Can I submit to you by the authority of Scripture? Greener pastures is where God is. There are poor people in every nation. There are wealthy people in the poorest of nations. And they are wealthy by a global standard. Your portion comes through His word. It does not just come by location. I think I've said enough tonight. Rise up on your feet. Spare me 2 or 3 minutes and let's pray. This is important for your destiny. We are going to be praying. Lord, I am prepared to begin to command the supernatural in my life. I'm tired of an ordinary Christian life. I'm tired of a life that is barren of results. I want to begin to manifest extraordinary results in my life in a way that brings glory to the name of the Lord. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice everywhere, inside, outside, the overflows. Go ahead and pray. Shabakatoska de Brandeke Lahaska Debia. Krateke de Brandegesko Zigate Palakusa Braaskidia. Is someone pray? Lord, help my unbelief. Let my faith come alive. Let my faith come alive in the name of Jesus, resting on the integrity of your word, resting on your ability. Let my faith come alive. I am ready to walk by faith, live by faith, talk by faith, command results by faith. Pray just one more minute. Declare over your life, every aspect of your life, by the ministry of the word, by the ministry of faith, I'm commanding results in the name of Jesus. Results that bring glory to the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Listen. Let me advise you, when you go back home, I want you to prepare and listen to this message again. Don't assume you got everything I was saying. Listen to it again. The just lives by faith. If you do not know how to live by faith in these days and in these times, you will live a defeated Christian life. Are we together now? By next week, we're going to take part 2, and I'm going to be teaching you the ministry of the Spirit and of the anointing. I will be showing you the dynamics, how faith and the anointing works, the ministry of the Spirit in commanding the supernatural. We need to be a distinguished people, distinguished by faith and distinguished by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And then I hope that next week also we'll have the opportunity to announce a few of our major ministry activities, and we'll have the opportunity to just bring these things to our hearing so that we begin to prepare ourselves for the many mighty things that God is going to be doing in and through our lives this year. We give Him thanks for all that He's done so far, and we know that this year indeed, for us as a global family, it will be a year of marvelous light in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, let me make the altar call. As always, God will never, never send people here without having a few who need to make Jesus Lord of their lives. I believe in the ministry of Jesus as Savior,
then as the Christ and as Lord. There are many of you who are here in the main auditorium, all the overflows down to the basement outside, and those following online. You are saying, Apostle, I need to place my faith in Jesus, but I need to know that Jesus. He wants to give you an opportunity right now. Or we have those who are rededicating their lives. They are saying, even though I know that the message is over, but I do not want to leave this place without acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus. Wherever you are, these two categories, no one will force you, but the Holy Ghost is already speaking to you. I'm going to count 1 to 5. May I please request that you leave your seat very quickly and come and stand before me here as I lead you in this prayer. There are people coming. I begin my counting now. Please clap for them as they come. Don't allow anyone to be the first to come. Win that war and come. Come to Jesus. 2. Those coming from outside, please quickly. Koinonia, let's celebrate them as they come. Come to Jesus. He is able to give you a new beginning. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma. Come. Is this the best you can do for them, Koinonia? Jesus is calling. All who are weary, all who are heavy laden, come. He will give you rest. If you are still in the crowd and you are saying, Apostle, I really want to come, but I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, make your way. Come and join them. He's ready to give you a new beginning. Right now. A new beginning. Hallelujah. I'll lead you to pray. If you are joining them, please come very quickly. I appreciate every one of you. Those who are standing in front here and all who are standing in the overflows. And you who is following in your home, your office, wherever. Jesus is right there with you. And as I lead God's people to make this prayer, I want you to pray that prayer right where you are, believing that Jesus Christ would give you a new beginning. Hallelujah. May I request, if you can, that you lift your right hand high above your head and say this after me. Let it be loud, let it be clear from the depth of your heart. This is to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I acknowledge you as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that from tonight I have eternal life in my spirit. The power of sin, of Satan, of hell, and of the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never, in Jesus' name. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you so much for these precious people, your people. They have come acknowledging your Lordship over their lives. In response to this call to salvation, I pray by the authority of Scripture that the power of sin be broken over their lives, and that you grant them the grace to walk in righteousness. Grant them the grace to be recipients of your grace. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare that you go from glory to glory and from grace to grace. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may it be an exciting journey as you explore the riches of this faith life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for making this decision. May I please request that you follow a gentleman waving his hands. The counselors are there. They'll be very, very fast with you. Let's celebrate them as they go. Just a minute and you'll be back to your seat. Celebrate them as they go. Celebrate them as they go. Celebrate them as they go. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me encourage you again that the year of marvelous light is also the year of ingathering. I am very passionate about souls as a ministry. It is our number one assignment to help people experience Jesus. Please, everyone who is part of this vision must be actively involved in the ministry of soul winning. make sure that you do not come to church alone. There are families, there are people. If it means for you to sponsor people to bring them to the house of God so that they can be blessed, so that they can encounter Jesus as Savior. Then for those who are saved already, they need to encounter Jesus the way, to learn the ways of the kingdom, and then to be empowered. Koinonia is a ministry where everyone is invited, provided your heart and your desperate desire is to know Jesus, to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and to be empowered to live a victorious Christian life while serving the purposes of the kingdom. Let me encourage you, therefore, to be very intentional and to be very active about the ministry of ingathering. Do not let anyone go to hell around you, knowing that there is an ark, there is a city of refuge, an opportunity for them to encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. And for those who may not be able to make it, you can always let them know that they can follow online. This is not some marketing of men of God pushing themselves. The agenda of the kingdom is greater than personal interests. Are we together? We're living in times where it is very clear that the days are wrapping up, whether we like it or not. That is the truth. And we must give our very best serving the purposes of His Majesty within the time that is left. So let me encourage us, take it as a personal responsibility. And for all those who travel out of this state, out of this nation, week in, week out, I want you to know that we love you, we sincerely appreciate you. Even our online family, we thank you so much for participating every week. Thank you for inviting others. I look forward to coming to your regions to hold conferences, and as God will grant us grace, we'll see how much God will grant us grace to cover this year in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. The word of God is causing you to grow in stature in the name of Jesus Christ. Your love for Jesus continues to multiply. Your intimacy with the Holy Spirit continues to grow. And the results that follow oneness with Christ is speaking in your life. I decree and declare that your faith is alive by reason of the word of God. You will return with testimonies in the name of Jesus. This week beginning is a blessed one for you. It's a week full of signs and wonders. A week that is characterized by the manifestation of the supernatural. Go from glory to glory and grace to grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. After the grace, please do greet someone on your way out. And now you can wish yourselves happy Valentine. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Happy Valentine. See you on Sunday.